Maine is seeing a growing number of young people from preschool through 12th grade who are homeless. They're moving into shelters, couch surfing with other families, and in rare cases, camping or living in cars. According to the National Center for Homeless Education, the numbers increased by 30% in just 2 years. As part of our week-long series, Finding a Way, Maine Public's Robbie Feinberg brings us the story behind those numbers and what it's meant for kids and the schools and communities trying to help them.
Most afternoons, 18-year-old Michaela, she asks that we not use her last name, sits by herself, hunched over a computer or notepad in a back office at New Beginnings, a shelter in Lewiston for youth who are homeless or displaced. Here, she writes stories and letters to help her process what she's experienced over the past few years.
Like, even, like, reading that piece is hard, but it, like, it gives me a more positive memory to all of these traumatic events than what I usually would think about.
Michaela arrived in Maine about 3 years ago from Connecticut, where she and her sisters had been raised by their single dad. When he passed away, they moved to Biddeford to be with family. Michaela graduated from high school and even enrolled in community college last fall. But she says without an adult to turn to, she didn't know how to handle financial aid or pay for books.
It was really hard to even think about who would I even call, because my family, like I said, like being first generation, they wouldn't even really know. So it's like me asking them questions and being like, who do I call? How do I do this? And so like I was literally just living in the dorms, but like not going to classes because I didn't have books and I wasn't doing much of actual school. So I was like, well, I think it's time to just drop out as opposed to paying tuition for nothing.
She did drop out. But once she left the dorm, she had few options of where to go. Michaela says she stayed with her grandmother for a bit, but was asked to leave after repeated family conflicts. She says her boyfriend's sister paid for a hotel for a few nights. But without permanent shelter, Michaela and her boyfriend passed the time in 24-hour fast food restaurants just to have a roof over their heads.
My friend let me stay in, like, her hallway outside, like, of her actual apartment. Like, we would stay there, or, like, there were other nights where we would just be sitting outside kind of trying to figure something out. But it was just months of kind of panicking, and that's really all we could think about.
Michaela is one of a growing number of Maine youth identified as homeless or displaced. According to one measure done in 2017, more than 2,500 students were without a safe or permanent place to live. That's a 30% jump from 2 years prior. The problem is placing pressure on schools and social service agencies across the state, stretching a system that's already seen some cutbacks in recent years.
We're not alone in that. It has been a trend across the country.
Gail Erdheim of the Maine Department of Education works with public schools to support students who are homeless or displaced. Erdheim says that it's hard to point to any single factor that's causing youth homelessness to rise. She says it may be partially the result of better reporting and recently reauthorized policies that require schools to put more effort into identifying displaced students.
In terms of kind of keying schools into the value of bending over backward to keep kids stable in the school that they've been in, even when they're moving around.
But advocates for youth in Maine point to larger societal problems as part of the explanation that's driving the trend. They include a lack of affordable housing, especially in southern Maine. The problem is compounded for the many immigrant families and youth who arrive in Portland shelters, often seeking asylum from violence in their home countries. Susan Wiggin is the transition specialist for Portland Public Schools.
So the folks that we see don't have help, don't have caseworkers, don't have jobs, don't have legal standing. They have the clothes that they're wearing, and that's it. And so when we have to do a lot of shoring up in our schools from elementary all the way through.
In more rural areas, there are other destabilizing factors: intergenerational poverty, the opioid epidemic, and discrimination based on gender identity and sexual orientation. Melissa McEntee, the executive director of Rumford Group Homes in Oxford County, says the public may not grasp what's actually happening.
But I think one of the biggest myths that we see is people think it's just runaways who don't want to live under their parents' roofs with their parents' rules. And that's just clearly not what we saw. It was youth that faced a lot of family conflict, youth that were coming from homes where there were major issues with substance use, domestic violence, and youth that were just not able to safely live in their homes.
The state has a network of connected shelters and support services to help, and school districts are required to identify homeless students and provide education, transportation, and support under the federal McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act. In Biddeford, officials say the school department has seen its busing costs rise by 40% in the past 5 years. At times, the district has relied on taxis to help get some homeless or displaced students to school. Superintendent Jeremy Ray says there's been an effort to address trauma and hire more social workers in recent years, but the complicated needs pose a challenge.
As we look at doing work with students who experience trauma and all of those pieces, where does it all fit in? How does that flow out and fit into the standards that teachers are required to teach, and that we can actually try to do a good job at everything? And I'm not sure that our setup in 7 hours allows us to do that.
For kids who have aged out of the school system, there is a network of shelters that offer support. For 18-year-old Michaela, that support came from the New Beginnings shelter in Lewiston. She says getting counseling and a place to sleep has made a big difference in her life since she arrived about a month ago. She flips through a study book and says she hopes to give community college another try this fall.
So I definitely feel a lot better now that I've had, somewhere to be where I have resources around me, and I've had, time to not have chaos and be able to figure everything else out that I need to on my own.
While Michaela has found help in a city shelter, homeless young people in rural Maine still face separate persistent challenges on their own, with no easy solutions in sight. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
Tomorrow in our series Finding a Way, we'll hear more about that challenge and the difficult decisions that homeless youth in rural communities are forced to make. Our reporting on issues affecting teenagers and young adults in Maine is made possible with support from the John T. Corman Foundation.